urgent times. If you're living in fear of the future, wondering how the Lord intervenes with His mercy and compassion, stay tuned for an hour of inspiring, uplifting radio for a time such as this. Now here is your host, Ann McClone, with Thy Will Be Done.
Well, good afternoon, friends. It's February 3rd, 2025, this beautiful sunny day in Philadelphia. And for those of you who don't know, it's the Feast of St. Blaise. And I pray that many of you had your throats blessed this morning at your local parish. And if not, pray to St. Blaise, a very special intercessor for problems with the throat and other areas. So I encourage you to pray to him today on his feast day. But let us begin in prayer in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we offer up all the prayers of all the people who will be listening today, for all those who intended to listen but cannot. We pray for this apostolate, that you empower it, that you ignite it through the power of the Holy Spirit for all who listen, that it is a teaching and healing apostolate, that it gives consolation to those who need consolation. Lord Jesus, today we pray for the victims affected by the medical plane crash here in Philadelphia. We pray, dear God, for the victims, the souls that are lost, those that are in the hospital, those in critical condition, those that lost their homes and belongings. We pray for all those individuals and those that have yet to be found. We pray, Jesus, for everyone who's been hurt in any way. We pray for the first responders and the police and all the people who helped out. We pray that you bless them. And Jesus, we pray for a miracle, that some type of good comes out of this. We pray for the families of the little girl who was killed on the plane, who had been here receiving treatment at the Shriners Hospital in Philadelphia, her family in Mexico, the doctor on the plane, the paramedic, the pilots. Jesus, we thank you and praise you for everything, even though this is horrible. We give this all to you. We pray, Lord Jesus, for the victims and families of the helicopter crash and plane crash in Washington, D.C. Jesus, horrendous crash, all the souls who are lost. We pray that the Coast Guard can recover the bodies of those family members that are lost in the water. We pray for a miracle that all the bodies are recovered. Jesus, we pray for healing for the families. We pray for healing, Lord Jesus, from the people who were in the helicopter, the people who were in the plane. Jesus, this horrific accident. We thank you and praise you for all the people who really, really tried during that first night to rescue, to be in the waters in the dark. And we thank you and praise you for that. We pray right now also for the families affected by the wildfires in California. Even though the fires are out, there's devastation. People are homeless. People are having problems getting food. So we pray, Lord Jesus, for all the people affected by the wildfires in California as well. And we cannot forget Hurricane Milton and Helene victims and families who are still suffering in the South. And we pray for them that there is immediate and complete recovery, and that the needs of good, warm homes and food and health care will be present. Jesus, this has been a time of suffering for many in our country. The news has been frightening. And Father God, we give you everything because you're in control of everything, and you see the broken hearts. You see the homes that are burned. You see the people who have lost loved ones. Jesus, you are the divine creator. We empower all of our listeners right now through the power of the Holy Spirit to intercede mightily for all these needs, Jesus. This is a powerful apostolate. So we pray mightily that all who are listening today will keep all these special prayer intentions in their hearts. And Blessed Lady, we give everything to you. We ask that you wrap your mantle around all these needs and all these people and all these victims. And we thank you in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. It's a little hard to pray and think about a radio program when one is in the midst of all this devastation. But, you know, the Lord placed it on my heart. As Mother Teresa once said, it's important to be joyful in the midst of our vulnerabilities. And that's not an easy task, friends. So here's the theme for today's program, and I pray that you stay with me. A question for you. Are you living a life of faithfulness? Are you living a life of faithfulness? It doesn't matter what denomination you are. Are you living a life of faithfulness? Now, St. Paul described in the letter to Ephesians, remember? Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Therefore, take the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore. That's from Ephesians 6, verses 10 and 11 and 13 to 14. You see, one of the most crucial things we can do in living for and serving the Lord, my friends, is simply to stand firm in the place where God has put us. My sense today was that many people were saying, should I make a move? What should I do? Not quite sure. I'm praying and discerning. I don't know what to do. So the Lord is saying to stand firm in the place where God has put you. Hold fast to what he has taught you. To hang on to every inch of territory he has helped us to take in our struggle to live a life worthy of his kingdom. Now, we're not called to pull back. We're not called to retreat. And boy, oh boy, if you're watching the news, you want to hide in your house, don't you? You want to hide. We can't give up. We cannot give up. We can't become discouraged in the face of difficulties. But we have to stand firm, my friends, as Christians. Now, what does it mean to stand firm? It means to dig our heels in, to be rooted, to be unmovable, to be unshakable, to let nothing move us from the position God has placed us in, and to let go of nothing he has taught us, to let nothing turn us back from following after him. Now, some may say, and you may say, we need to hold our ground, regardless of what the world, the flesh, or the devil may throw at us. We need to have love and prayer. It is to be channels of his love. God is love. And wherever God's people are, there is God's love. And it should be manifest. It should be manifest. In every situation we're part of, my friends, we are to bring kindness, mercy, compassion, and forgiveness. We need to bring truth in love. We need to bring discipline in love, and we need to bring strength in love, especially during these times. We need to bring life because we bring the life-giving love of God. Now, there's something in us that wars against this, right? Now, think about it. I want you to answer that question. Scripture calls it the flesh. Now, this refers not to our actual skin and bones flesh, but to that part of us that still craves its own comfort, its own satisfaction, its own way. And in one place, St. Paul refers it to as the old man who still lives on, even within the new creation that we have become in Christ. Hey, make no mistakes about it, listeners. The flesh is real, and it stands opposed to what God wants us to do and wants in us and through us. He wants us to walk by the Spirit. Do not gratify the desires of your flesh, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh. For those are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you would. And that's from Galatians 5, 16 to 17. Now, I want to drive home this point that the flesh is not to be taken lightly. St. Paul really categorizes this. Now, the works of the flesh are plain. Now, this is in the sacred scriptures, Galatians 5, 19 to 21. It's not me just saying this. It's in Galatians. The works of the flesh are plain: immorality, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, strife, jealousy, anger, selfishness, dissension, party spirit, envy, drunkenness, carousing. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom. That's from Galatians 5, verses 19 to 21. Now, these are pretty strong words, aren't they, from the sacred scriptures? Have you ever read them? Have you ever really meditated on them? They're important words because they show how our flesh wars against love. Now, we've been talking about this for months and maybe years on this network. It wars against life itself and seeks only to deal us death. How many times, in large ways and little ways, listeners, does our flesh rise up and try to deflect us from bringing life and love into the situations we're part of? It's constant, isn't it? This is where St. Paul exhorts us to stand firm. This is the purpose of this radio broadcast today, to stand firm. We must stand against the flesh, and we must stand firm for love. Now, consciously and aggressively choosing against death and for life, against the works of the flesh, and for what Paul later calls the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the first quality of which is love. Now, not only the flesh, but Satan himself wars against a life of love. He who is the greater dealer of death and hatred seeks to choke off your life and love wherever he can. How does he do it? He undermines our confidence in our standing as children of God. He drags up our sin and weaknesses. He flings them accusingly in our faces. He stirs up wrong attitudes and motives, and he tells us nothing but lies. Now, sometimes you think it's very apparent, don't you? But most of the time, it's really subtle, isn't it? You have to really carefully discern. For example, one of the ways I believe that evil, one, wars against our living a life of love, is by fostering dissatisfaction and discontent. No doubt you've heard someone, maybe in your workplace, maybe in your family, perhaps yourself, say things like, "Oh, I don't have a husband. I wish I did. I wish I had a better job. Oh, I wish I had more children. I wish I didn't have any children. I wish I had a bigger house. Oh, I wish this house would be different." Don't we all say that? Don't we all say that? And the list goes on and on. We're discontented. We're finding faith. We never are satisfied. We're grumbling. We're complaining before the Lord, who made us who we are, placed us where we are out of love. Stand firm. Do you see why Satan wants to draw us into this trap? Do you see it? Because it causes us to turn away from the love of God as it is expressed in the provision God has made for our lives. We cannot stand firm when we're indulging discontent. When we're giving free rein to discontent, we're always looking to the right, to the left, never straight ahead on the plan God has for our life. Now, how can we stand our ground against the enemy if our eyes are not on the Lord, who alone can give us the strength to conquer? answer that question. How can we? You're turning left, you're turning right. Now, a friend of mine, many of you know her, Sister Ann Shields. She is one of my spiritual mothers for maybe 10 years. She once wrote, "I would like to suggest a simple tool that can help us evaluate how well we're doing at living a life of love and can show us where we still need to learn to stand our ground." This is one of the things she wrote. The tool is the very familiar passage about love, chapter 13 of the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. We have all heard it so many times, and we may even know it in our hearts. I would like to focus on verses 4-7, in which St. Paul gives his definition of love. But Sister Ann said she would like to suggest a slightly modified version of the passage. She suggested that you read through it, and in every place where it offers a description of what love is, put your name instead. In the original form, the passage reads, "Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful. It's not arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrong, but rejoices in the right. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things." Now, Sister Ann said, Sister Ann Shields, in her revised form, her 1 Corinthians standard replaces her name. So where it says love is patient and kind, she says Ann is patient and kind. Ann is not jealous or boastful. Ann does not insist on her own way. You just put your name in there, and that's her 1 Corinthians standard. Now try it for yourself tonight. Insert your own name in the scriptures and see how the passage reads. Does it give an accurate representation of you, or does it point to areas where you need more of God's grace to stand your ground in living a life of love? Now, none of us are perfect. None of us can live a life of love on our own, right? All of us will fail from time to time. Now, the second area that she mentioned that we have talked about so many times on this radio broadcast, in which we need to stand firm, is intercession. St. Paul mentions this later in the same passage we've been examining, the one where he calls us to stand. Pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. That's from Ephesians 6, verse 18. Now, Sister Ann said, we're in a war. We're in a war. And intercessory prayer is one of the major weapons God has given us for fighting that war. Satan is trying to win the hearts, minds, and souls of men and women all over the world. And boy, do we see that. He wants to draw as many of them into hell as he possibly can. I believe God has given us intercessory prayer as a means for us to fight with him and draw many into heaven. God honors our prayers. He uses it to revive his people, and he uses it to call men and women like you who are listening to himself. He wants to take up intercessory prayer and for you to become a warrior with him. Will you take up the sword? Will you go into battle at his side? Now, two things happen when we pray. And the first is that God pours out grace, which can change people and situations around us. Yes, it happens. It can touch hearts. It can redirect attitudes and behavior. Did you know that? This is what we think of first when we think of intercession, God's grace changing others. But God also changes us in this process. This is what I'm driving home today. When you're interceding for others and you're standing firm, you change. This is the second thing that happens when we pray. God touches our hearts. He rearranges our circumstances. He redirects our attitudes and behavior. We become more purified as vessels of his love, his grace, and his power, don't we? And we become better able to hear his voice and carry out his will when we're praying for others. We become more useful to him as servants. Now, St. Peter wrote to the early Christians, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal which comes upon you to prove you as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoices in so far as you share God's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed." 1 Peter 4, verse 12 to 13. Now, Peter was not speaking here of intercession, but there's no doubt that when we take up the weapon of intercessory prayer and go into battle, the fighting often gets more intense. Now, I bet you're all nodding your heads up and down. You're all nodding. Yep, you're not kidding. This fight is getting more intense. The more I pray, the more I pray for others, the more intense it gets. We should not be surprised or caught off guard by this. Now, you know better. But if you don't, guess what? If you're in intense battle and you're shaking your head, you're learning it for the first time. It's part of it. It's not uncommon that we pray for a difficult situation only to see it get worse for a time. Now, I know myself in prayer petitions, like, Lord, where are you? Where are you? And I'm sure those of you who are listening today are saying, Lord, where are you? I intercede. I ask other people to pray. I call into Kathleen's program every week. Where are you, Lord? Where are you? You say, great. I prayed. And look what happened. It made it worse. It must be pretty. You must be a pretty miserable intercessor you have in your head, right? Well, don't listen to this lie. When the battle heats up, it's usually a sign that our prayers are beginning to have an effect. It tells us that Satan has felt the sting of our prayer, and he's fighting back big time. Stand your ground. Dig in your heels and resolve that you're not going to back off. Ask God to sustain you and to show you again and again how to pray. But don't give in. Stand firm. Don't give in. Stand firm. Are you willing to do that? God answers the prayer of those who do not give up. Now, my sense is that we have people listening today who are in the last nanosecond of praying for others. You've kind of had it. Life is so bad for you. The more you pray, the worse it gets. And you're saying, I don't want to listen to this woman on the radio telling me. God answers the prayers of those who don't give up. So if you feel like giving up this moment, if you feel like I've had it, my prayers are not being answered, those who stand firm, even if we find ourselves praying for many years, we know that God is honoring our faithfulness and that he will continue to adjust us and guide us in our prayer. Brothers and sisters, we're in a battle. We are in a spiritual battle. The Lord has called us to fight at his side for the sake of his kingdom on this earth. He wants us to be men and women who love, who inject his life into every situation we're part of. He wants us to be men and women who pray, who wield the weapon of intercessory prayer, in order that his kingdom may be established in those around us. Stand, therefore, says St. Paul, stand firm in living a life of love. Stand firm in living a life of prayer. For it's through lives of love and prayer, my dear friends and listeners, a life lived in faithfulness, that God will change the world. God answers the prayers of those who do not give up. And again, my sense is that many of you who are listening want to give up. Like, I just can't go on. I want to give up. All these bad things are happening in the world. They're happening in my life. What can I do? I'm listening to this radio. I'm asking God for a message of hope. Well, here it is. God answers prayers of those who do not give up. He adjusts us and he guides us in our prayers. Faith is the bird that sings while it is yet dark. Faith is the bird that sings while it is dark. Think about that. They're strong words. Our flesh wars against love. It wars against love. And we need to hear this today. We need to put a wall of intercession around our country, around our families, around our parishes. Many of you have heard of the Wall of Jericho. The Wall of Jericho. Let us pray as In His Sign Catholic Radio Network for that wall to be placed around this country, around our churches, around our homes and our neighborhoods, around this radio network, that God will use all of us powerfully in intercession. So remember in the fall, if you're an old listener, and I hope I have some old listeners, not old in age, but who have been with us for a while, St. John of the Cross once said, in the twilight of our life, we will be judged on love. We will not be judged on our gifts, our talents, our achievements. We will not be judged on how hard we've worked or how much we've accomplished. We'll be judged on how much and how well we've loved, on whether we've loved one another as Jesus loved us. Now, in this world, it's all about accomplishments, isn't it? It's all about accomplishments. But we're not going to be judged at the end of our lives on accomplishments. We're going to be judged on how we've loved those who are unlovable, those who are our enemies, who have hurt us, who have betrayed us. We're going to be judged if we love them. Yes, we will. I love some of the reels that come up on my phone. Sometimes I'm up to 3 or 4 in the morning praying, and I receive some reels like Father Dan Rehill. He's an exorcist, a priest on radio. He does podcasts. I love listening to his wisdom on so many things. And the moment we die, the moment the Mass is celebrated for us, we are judged. We're not judged, again, on accomplishments or our talents. Of course, the Lord wants us to use all our talents, but on how well we love, not how much money is in our 401k, how big is our home, or how little is our home, how we've complained. We'll be judged on love. Well, we can know God has made it known to us, and His Holy Spirit can bring it to our remembrance and make it real to us in our down-to-earth, day-to-day life experience. This is what happens to us as we come to know and understand and live in the love of God. This is what we call a life of love. I don't think many of us, even as Christians, know what love is. We don't even know what love is. Unfortunately, our society has taught us to love based on what we get, not on what we give. Think about this. Do you really know how to love? Do you really know how to receive love? Do you know how to stand firm today? Do you know how to stand firm? After the break, we'll have so much more to share. So my friends, stay tuned. After the break, we'll return with so much more.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
My friends, welcome back. You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. I'm your host, Anne McGlone, on Thy Will Be Done, which is the name of our weekly program every Monday from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. It is such a pleasure to be with you today. I'm just reminded that Kathleen has a retreat this upcoming weekend at Malvern Retreat House called Rekindle the Fire. It's held at the Family Life Center. I'm not quite sure if it's filled or not, or they may have an overflow. So you may want to call and check out Kathleen's retreat with Father Monsignor Stephen McHenry at Malvern Retreat House this upcoming weekend. I just, any opportunity to be on retreat is a gift from God. So call the retreat house during work hours. I believe it closes at 5, and check it out and see if there's any room for you. Again, I don't know if it's full yet, but they may have an overflow room. So please, please rekindle the fire with Kathleen McCarthy and Monsignor McHenry, who is a sweetheart, a holy, holy priest. So I highly encourage you to look it up and try to attend. So we're talking about standing firm. Now, one person who seems to me epitomized the life of standing firm and love, and you've heard me speak of her, was Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Now, she not only lived in constant awareness and reliance upon God's love for her, but she constantly radiated that love to others. Now, here's the key word, radiated, not a solemn faith. She suffered the dark night of the soul. Most of her vocation, she radiated smiles. She radiated God's love to those in need. This is what God is asking us as we stand firm as intercessors and in the place that he's called us to radiate his love. Can we do that? She was obedient to the word of God. And she knew what Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And because she wanted to live a life of love, she lived a life of obedience and freedom. We think that because we're Christians, we've given our lives to the Lord, our freedom is born. This is what young people believe, especially teenagers. Oh, if I give my life to the Lord, my partying days are over. You know, I have this restricted lifestyle. You have more freedom in Christ as you surrender your life to him. You have more freedom. And Mother Teresa, that freedom is not just for Mother Teresa, my friends. It's not just for her. It's for you. You who are listening today. You who may have been channel surfing and saying, I don't listen to AM radio. but you accidentally, you think, tuned in today. Well, this is for you and me as well. You see, it's for all God's little ones as well. All God's little ones. It's not just for old people. It's not just for us who think, oh, it's the end of our lives. It's not. Why do we think that we have to pray at the end of our lives? Why? A life of love is, if you need a role model, Mother Teresa. It's a life of forgiveness. The power to live a life of love is available to us, no matter what your state of relationship is with the Lord today. This love is available to you if you're Catholic through the sacrament of reconciliation. Call a parish priest or maybe someone you know. Make an appointment. Make an appointment. Don't do the 5-minute confession, but make an appointment. And it may be a couple weeks. It may be a week. It may be a day. And say, I haven't been in confession in so long. It's the healing balm of the Holy Spirit, B-A-L-M. Think of a salve that you put on a burn. Reconciliation is a healing balm. Now, are you ready to respond to this challenge of standing firm today? Are you willing to accept it? Or are you thinking, you're scratching your head saying, nah, thanks, I'm not really into this. Well, we open our hearts wide open to receive the faithful, merciful, healing love of God, to let it pour into us, pour out of us, to all those around us? Will we decide to live a life of love in the grace and peace and power of the Holy Spirit? Are you ready for that? Tonight, I want you to go to the Book of Psalms. I've mentioned this many, many times in many teachings. But it's very, very powerful. Very, very powerful. You see, most of our praise comes from the Psalms. The Book of Psalms is the basic prayer collection of God's people. Did you know that? Maybe you can't really get into the Bible yet. So tonight I want you to open to the Book of Psalms, any psalm. It's a collection inspired by the Holy Spirit. We can surmise that it's even in the book from which Jesus drew most of his personal prayer. You might decide to focus on the attributes of God. You might, for example, begin with Psalm 18. I love thee, Lord, my strength. Lord is my rock and my fortress, and he's my deliverer. He's my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield in the horn of my salvation. He's my stronghold. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. Psalm 18, verses 1 to 3. It's really not that hard to open up the Psalms and ask God for you. There's a beautiful song about Psalm 23. And when I first heard about Psalm 23, it was always read at funerals. But it's very powerful for those who are listening with anxiety and depression and bipolar disorders. It's very, very powerful. Now, another important ingredient of praise is music. Did you know that? Music. Praise and worship music. If you have a phone with the internet, you go to your search engine and type in Christian praise and worship music. It's free. And up will come hours and hours of music. Hours. Because you may not hear it on the radio because there's commercials all the time. But you can hear it, my friends, by just typing in your search engine and listening to praise music. If you're having a hard time praying and interceding, I pray that you go to music. Yes. See, a true intercessor, and that's what we're trying to build here, is one who makes a long-term decision to plead on behalf of another. Now, every day in our rosary, my husband and I pray for all of you who listens in his sign Catholic Radio Network. We've been doing this for years. We pray for all the people who have given their prayer petitions to Kathleen and all the other radio hosts who call in to the radio network. We pray every day for all of you. And now we're asking you to pray for us, to be committed to know what God wants of us in going forward. What is his plan? See, in Ezekiel 22, verse 30, God asked through the prophet for people to stand in the gap for others. Can you do that? Can you step outside of yourself for a minute and stand in the gap for someone else? Stand in the gap for those of you who live in the Philadelphia area, for all those who are victims and families of that airplane crash, or those in D.C. Stand in the gap and pray for those families. See, that vivid phrase helps us to capture the essence of intercession. Now, if you visually have something to pray for, it will strengthen you. See, God's plan and his plea for us, that he wants us to become more and more of an intercessor. It's crucial. It's a tragedy that we haven't learned to do this. It's a tragedy. We have lost our fire, and that's why I love the name of the retreat this week, Rekindle the Fire. Maybe it was yesterday, I had a reel come up on my phone. I really tune into a lot of the Catholic reels and podcasts, and one of my favorites is Father Schmitz from Ascension Press. But a reel came up of this beautiful Asian priest telling listeners how his mother just had a kidney transplant, and she used to pray for everyone, everyone. She was quite an intercessor. She prayed and prayed and prayed. So she didn't think she would make it. She had the last rites, and she did make it through the intercession and the mercy of God. And he was so grateful. The priest was so grateful. And then he said to his mother, "But Mom, now you need to receive the prayers and love of people who have prayed for you. You're awake, you're alive, and you need to receive. It's easier for you to give, but it's not so easy for you to receive." See, that's self-abuse. When we don't think we're worthy of God's mercy and love. I shared maybe a year ago when I was in, after a major fall and surgeries and in an inpatient rehab for therapy for my legs, an old coworker said to me as I sat in the wheelchair after PT, "And you need to learn how to receive the love of others." And I looked at him, "What? You need to receive. You need to receive and embrace the love of others right now, because you love and you've learned to give, give, give. But it's hard for you to receive, isn't it?" And I pondered that. And you know what? It is. It's really hard. So when this priest reel came up on my phone about his mother needing to learn how to receive, I thought, we're never really taught to receive. We think humility is, "Oh, I'm fine, I'm fine. Don't worry about me, I'll pray for you." That's not humility. Humility is accepting the prayers and love of someone who's interceding for you and thanking them. "Thank you for loving me. Thank you for delivering a meal to my home. Thank you for driving me to a doctor's appointment." That's what God wants of us. He wants us to love, to serve, and to receive. But most importantly, we need to stand firm. Now, I know that there are people listening today who are saying, "I need to move. I need to get a new job. I need to do this and that, and I don't know quite what to do. Will you teach me, Lord, what to do? Show me what." My message to you today is stand firm. Stay in the boat. Stay in the boat. Because the Lord will move you at the right time. Take it from someone who has learned. I've written a book about it. I've written a book about moving when for years and years I asked the Lord to move me out of a particular job and nothing happened. I had people interceding for me to get out of this particular job, and I had to do it financially. It wasn't even a question. And the Lord put it on my heart one day, you need to stand firm and wait. And trust me, I am not a person who likes to wait. It took about 3 years of prayer. And finally, one little nun from the Dominican retreat house, who was the spiritual director, Sister Maria Diamante, was on retreat and showed up in my office with a relic of the little flower. It was her first class relic of the little flower. And she handed it to me with a clip of a rosebud. And she said, the Lord wants you to prepare to move. And I remember my spiritual director at that time said, well, people aren't going to just come to you and tell you what to do. The Lord will tell you first. And it's confirmed by someone else. So another person, she's in heaven now. I know she's in heaven. She's a saint. Said to me one day when I was really down and out because I was working so hard. I was tired. She said, Anne, the Lord is going to deliver a white envelope to you. A white envelope. And then things would begin to happen. And I thought, that's crazy. She truly was a mystic, and she will be a saint. So what happens is Sister Maria Diamante, who became a friend, delivered to me her first class relic of the little flower, which I still have, very, very old. She went back on her retreat and she wrote a letter to me. And in that letter, she said specific things, which I do not have in front of me. And she actually handed it to my husband. But I didn't know this. So at 3 a.m, it was 3 a.m., the Lord awakened my husband and said, you were given the white letter to be given to Anne. So I was awakened and heard that my husband was given the letter, but I didn't know what it was. So the next morning when I went to work, my husband delivered the white letter to me, which was sealed. I had no idea what was in it. Very prophetic, very prophetic. And it was then that I knew it was time to move because I had to stand firm, even though the Lord put shackles on my feet. I am not the kind of person to stand firm. And I know there are people listening today like, I am not going to stand firm in this nonsense. Well, I'm not talking about abuse, my friends. If you're in an abusive situation, you need to get out. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about ministry or specific job. So wouldn't you know, once I read that letter in a white envelope, things started happening so fast within a 2-week period, I was moved out of my standing firm position into a new position. It was a miracle. It was a miracle, but I had to learn to stand firm when I didn't want to. I had to learn to listen. And listen, there are people who think they're giving you the word of God that come on the street to you and say, God told me to tell you. God will tell you first. He will tell you first, and then you can confirm it through someone else. But be very careful of people who say they have words for you. Be very careful, unless they're of the caliber of Kathleen McCarthy or Father Jim Blunt or some other very well-known people whose gifts are refined and approved by the church. But this is a warning. In order to stand firm, you're going to go through a struggle. You're going to go through a struggle and temptations. And this is when you need to not think of yourself, but to intercede for others. out of love. You step out of yourself and intercede for others and expect God to act. Expect God to act. He did in my life. He did in my life many times. So many miracles, of which one day I want to share through this radio apostolate, how standing firm in this radio apostolate, God has blessed my life and my family. It's very, very powerful. This apostolate, you can listen to any radio network you want. And a lot of the broadcasters make six figures. Not one broadcaster on this radio network, in Hisayan Catholic Radio Network, receives a dime. This is all volunteer. And we're looking at close to 50 years. Being on the air, not off the air. This is a providential network. So when you tune in to Kathleen tomorrow, who's on Facebook, or Rita Houck after me on Facebook, and Ken and Father Doug and Dr. Anton Raimondo and Grace Marquet and Mike Olshire and Father Monsignor Stephen McHenry, all the amazing people on this network, they're all standing firm. They're all standing firm, knowing that God has a plan for this network, and he has a plan for all of you. You don't have to be a radio broadcaster to know the will of the Lord. But if you're in a bad place today, God is speaking to you to stand firm, to intercede for others. If you're hurting and you're just unsure, or if you have not been to confession, go to confession through the healing balm, B-A-L-M, of the Holy Spirit. Go to confession to free up those chains that are holding you back. Perhaps you need to be freed from your past. Perhaps you need to be freed to repent and to ask forgiveness for those who need to forgive you and for those who need you need to forgive. My friends, this is a fire in my heart. It's a fire in my heart because we're not going to be judged on how much we have, our talents, our accomplishments. This is a wake-up call. We are going to be judged on how much we loved, and that's straight from the lips of St. John of the Cross. In the twilight of our life, we will be judged on love. We will not be judged on our gifts, our talents, our achievements. We'll not be judged on how hard we've worked or how much we've accomplished. We'll be judged on how much and how well we've loved, on whether we have loved one another as Jesus loved us. Can you hear this message today? I was thinking, what if we were on the plane that went down in the Potomac? What if we were in the cars on the Roosevelt Boulevard or our homes? It's not like you have hours to prepare yourselves for the Lord. We all need to be ready for the Lord. Kathleen says this over and over again. It's said in the sacred scriptures. We all need to be prepared. We have no idea what God has in store for us. See, a life of love, a life of prayer, a life of faithfulness, and a life lived in the light of eternity, a life thoroughly and completely given over to God. This is what God is asking us today. Keep your eyes on heaven. How much do you think and live and act in terms of the age to come? Do you work simply to enjoy good things in this world, or do you use them to serve the life to come? Are you raising your children to succeed in this life only, or are you raising them for the life to come? What about your career? Do you use your talents simply to get ahead in this world, or do you orient them to the life to come? You can have all these things
and use them and enjoy them in this life, and there's nothing wrong with that. But your main focus should always be on the life to come. You should always be on the life to come. Always. And we need to live a life of faithfulness, as I started out this program, to stand firm. We need to stand firm because we're like a bowl of jello. We go to the left, we go to the right. You know, we've been talking about lukewarm Christians for months and months. Seems like the lukewarm Christians are coming out of the woodwork, who don't know the scriptures, who don't know their faith, who don't pray, but they have a whole lot to say. Prayer is a joyful duty. Mother Teresa taught us that. The sacred scriptures tell us. Prayer is a joyful duty. It's not a chore. It's not a chore. Prayer is what we're made for, my friends, my listeners, my new friends who are listening. God created you to know him, to love him, and to serve him. When you pray, you are reaching your ultimate fulfillment in this life. So prayer is your duty. It's my duty. But it's a joyful duty, because it's the deepest expression of what we were created for and the richest source of God's blessing in our lives. It's a sign of our commitment to the Lord. And if we are parents, if we're married, we need to have a commitment to our spouses for them to go to heaven and for our children to go to heaven. It's not about our 401k. It's not about the 401k. Never, ever give up. Only ask how, Lord, how can I deepen my relationship with you? How can I deepen my relationship? So I'm going to pray for all of you who are listening now. My sense in prayer is that we have some new listeners who are like, what in the world is going on? Heavenly Father, we pray for all those new listeners who are just tuning in. We pray for their needs, their doubts, their desires of their hearts, who need to learn to stand firm in your holy will until you're ready to move them, who need to repent and to ask forgiveness of those they've harmed and to forgive those who have harmed them. Blessed Mother, we ask that you wrap all of our listeners in your mantle today on this feast of St. Blaise. We ask that you place all of our listeners into the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart, your Immaculate Heart. We thank you and praise you, Jesus, for this network. We thank you and praise you for all the people who want to call in, who are afraid to call in, who don't even know how to call in. We thank you and praise you for that. And Lord, we entrust all the prayer petitions of everyone who's listening today. We thank you and praise you for all that you're about. And we give glory to you, God the Father. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Until next week, my friends, may the Lord bless you and keep you. And may Our Lady's mantle be wrapped around you in a very special way. And remember, don't give up. Stand firm. Don't give up. God bless you.